Hello, and welcome to Educators to Educators. I'm Carrie Conover, and thank you so much for joining us for episode 10, the ABCs of how girls and women are socialized. Today, I am joined by a really special guest, Nikki Neagle. Nikki, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for asking me, Carrie.
You're welcome. Nikki and I met a few weeks ago at a networking event in Chicago. I approached Nikki. I think she is just so smart, and she told me about a TED talk that she did about ABCs of how women are socialized. And I said, well, this is super relevant for teachers who are working with girls in schools. And how can we talk about how girls are being socialized in schools and in society and while they're growing up? So Nikki's going to join us today. We're going to talk through girls in the classroom and how as an educator can help shape girls to be confident in who they are. So Nikki, before we get started today, I would love for you to tell us a little about yourself.
So I'm Nikki Neagle, rhymes with eagle, and I'm originally from Wisconsin, born and raised, blue collar family. At 23, I went and bought a one-way ticket, moved to San Francisco, and then right before 9/11, put a deposit down on an apartment in New York City. And so that happened, and then I was in New York City for 4 years, and now I've been in Chicago for 12 years, and my undergrad is in adult learning and development and sociology. I have a master's degree in communication. I've been working with the public for over a decade now, and working with and helping people accomplish what they want to accomplish in their life, and really just kind of helping them get their stuff together. Right. And I've really had a big concentration on women. I love men. Men are great. I always feel like I have to say that. As soon as I say I work with women, I work with majority of women. But as soon as I say that, people think that I'm anti-men. Men are fantastic. Men are absolutely amazing. But I've really been studying girls and women and how we're socialized and why we're not doing the things that we're doing. Why do we keep saying that we're going to do things and we just not do things? So I've really, really been studying really the ABCs of women, right? Our actions, our behaviors, and then the consequences and all of that stuff that comes with it.
I have to mention that at our feet is the most beautiful cat named Maddie. And Maddie definitely wants to join this podcast. You're going to be hearing Maddie throughout the whole episode. And Maddie's giving me a stare down right now, wondering what's going on. So you're going to be hearing Maddie, you're going to be hearing the Chicago L behind us. I really believe I want this podcast to be authentic, and I don't like to do a ton of editing, so you're going to hear these things. So Nikki, I have to say, the first night I met you, you were speaking on a panel, and I walked up to you afterwards. I really wanted to meet you and talk to you, and someone next to me was saying that they wanted to start working out again, and they said, oh, I'm going to start Sunday, and I think I met you on a Tuesday. And you're like,
Thursday. It was a Thursday night.
A Thursday. Okay. Thursday night, yeah. And you were like, wait a second. No. Why are you starting on Sunday? Like, why aren't you starting tomorrow morning? And the person said, well, I have this and this and this and this. Okay, reasonable. They had a busy day. You said, then, well, what's wrong with Saturday? And then they said, well, yeah, actually, I could fit it in Saturday. And I liked that you were pushing her and I to do those things right away.
Yeah. And then I made her get out her calendar.
Yes.
Because saying Saturday, that could mean, well, when Saturday? 5 a.m. Saturday? 5 p.m. Saturday? 2 p.m.? Like, what does that even mean? And it's too easy just to say, oh, I'll do it Saturday. And then Saturday comes and goes. And then it's now next year Saturday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm like, no, you just get out your calendar right now. And she's like, oh, okay. I have to reach out to her. I have to ask her if she actually did it.
I love that. You did follow up with me. I said I was going to tweak something on my website. And the next day I had a text from Nikki asking me if I had done it. So I liked that about you a lot.
Yeah.
So later we're going to talk about some of the work that you do and what you do for a living. But let's go ahead and get started talking about girls and women and talking about girls in school. So one thing you said to me when we were brainstorming is that listen to what girls are saying and what they're not saying. So can you talk a little bit about that in the classroom?
Yeah. So part of what I've been studying with women is I've been listening to what they say, but I've been listening to what they aren't saying. I've really been kind of like reading between the lines. And like, for example, I was just talking to a client before and I said, when are you going to do this thing? And she's like, well, I can't do it today. And I said, no, we're going to stop this conversation right now, because the question I asked her was, when can you do this? And she instantly went and said, this is when I can't do it. I'm like, you're not even answering my question. Like, so it's almost like people already have like their own agenda, which I get. Like, we all have our own agenda, but it just, like, she just wasn't really paying attention to my question. And her bigger concern is when she couldn't do it. And it doesn't mean that she wasn't going to get to when she could do it, but she led in with when she couldn't do it. And so I think we have to kind of pay attention to that language and pay attention to, like, when are we talking negatively about ourselves and we don't even know we're talking negatively about ourselves, right? Like, part of all of my research that I've been doing is that, right, the ABCs are how women are socialized, but it's really girls and women, because before you can be a woman, you're a girl first. And that's just kind of how it works. And, you know, A, women apologize for how we feel and we accommodate our actions to others, right? That's the A portion. And it's like, how many times have we said, I don't care, whatever you want to do, because, and we do care, right? How many times we're like, oh, I don't care, whatever you want to do. And then the other person's like, oh, well, let's do this. And then you're like, well, no, I don't want to do that. And it's like, well, there are times we don't care. There really are. There are times, and I don't want to negate that feeling. But there are many times where we do care, or we do know, but we say, I don't know. And
that can start young in the classroom. That's really young. I'm thinking about book choice. So you're sitting with your students, and you're trying to find a good fit book for a kid to read, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, noticing a girl saying, like, I don't really care. Like, you pick it for me. I don't know. Well, like, what are you interested in?
Right.
What do you like? What do you think about when you're daydreaming? Let's find the...
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of times kids can pass things off as like, oh, I don't really care. Right. They do.
They do.
Deep down there.
And I think part of it, too, is that women are taught to be either passive or we're taught to be aggressive, right? We're taught to just be completely, like, whatever, or we're taught to, like, be angry, right? We're not taught to be assertive. And I've done, like, workshops and everything about how to teach women to be assertive. And men have been, not anti-men, men are always welcome. But it seems to be that more women want to come to these events that I do, because no one is taught how to be assertive. We're not taught to ask for a raise. We're not taught to ask for a better position in our lives. We're not even taught to, like, how do I write a grant for, you know, because I want to get more funding for my school. Like, no one teaches us these things. But I think if we just learn how to be assertive, and it's like, well, how do you be assertive? Step one, be assertive. Like, you just ask for what you want.
Yes.
Right? It's all part of my A's, right? Like, you ask. If you don't know how to ask for help, Google it.
Yes.
Right? Like, Google always has the answers. Always.
Well, in teaching, I've talked about this before on the podcast, teaching can be very isolating because you're in these four walls, and a lot of times you're the only adult, and you're with 25 or 30 kids all day, and sometimes you can start to get just worn down and feel like, oh, if I just had this, if I could just do that. I have learned the power of just go ask for it.
Yeah.
Network and ask people to help you if you want to do something spectacular in your classroom and get that help.
Yeah, I mean, it's so simple of like, well, I'm really nervous. So is everyone else. Everyone else is nervous just like you are. I think that's also kind of part of what I've been researching, is that the majority of the women I work with, is that we all think that we're alone. We're always the one. We always think that we are the only ones going through it. Logically, we know we're not, right? Logically, we got that covered. We know that we're in a world of millions of other people. Mm-hmm. Logically, we know this. But emotionally, we think we're the only ones going through it. We think we're the only ones that, like, oh, well, everyone else has it so much easier than I do, right?
Yeah.
And I'm the only one that's, like, struggling.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We all have our own version of struggle. So we just have to learn to ask for help. And we have to also learn it's okay to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, I don't know how to do this.
Like,
a lot of people think that asking for help is a sign of weakness. Because they're like, oh, if you ask for help, that means that you don't know how to do something. I'm not a robot. Like, I'm not Google. I don't know how to do everything. So asking for help is actually a sign of strength.
When you were talking about this, it made me think back to all my years in the classroom and girls at recess. Or girls when there was downtime and not structure.
And I'm already getting a little bit of panicky.
Well, we could go in 1,000 directions with this one.
Because I definitely remember being, like, bullied, like, on the recess, you know, the playground. And so, like, but you bring that up, but it, like, that's still inside of me.
Well, and it was the girls that would come up to me and just be like, I just, like, so-and-so wasn't being nice to me, or they didn't want to play with me. It was a huge one. Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so were playing this, and they don't want to play with me. And I'd always be like, so what did you do? Well, I just sat on the bench and cried. And I'm like, through all of recess, because I wouldn't be out there. We had, you know, other people monitoring. I'm like, through all of recess, that's what you did? I go, did you go find Samantha? Did you go see if Tommy wanted to play kickball? Did you go ask other people? Or were you so obsessed with this one little group of girls that said they didn't want to play with you? She's like, no, I didn't. And I would say, tomorrow, go ask other people, because there's other people that feel the same way you feel right now.
That's part of all the work I've been doing, is that we are waiting for things to happen to us instead of making things happen. We are constantly waiting for just things to magically happen. We're waiting to magically get that raise. We're waiting to magically have the teacher notice us. We're waiting for, you know, maybe it's the boy to ask us out. Like, whatever that thing is, even as adults, like, we're always just waiting for things to happen.
Yep.
Right? Instead of, like, no, I have to make things happen. I have to. We even, when we met that night, Carrie, you and I even talked about, you're like, I almost didn't even come up to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, why not? And you're like, I don't know. I just almost didn't.
It was so busy. There were so many people around you. I thought, oh, they've got to be, like, exhausted of all these people. So I was like, oh, I'm just not going to. And then I thought, that's silly. This is the whole reason I'm here.
Yeah. And if you wouldn't have come up to me, if you wouldn't have made that effort to come up to me, you would not be sitting right now in my office talking with me. Yeah. And I would not be talking with you. So it's not, it goes both ways, but like how, what are we robbing ourselves of, right? And this starts so young as girls. Like, what are we robbing ourselves from? What are we not doing? What are we not asking for? Because we're too afraid.
How much could we as educators have influence on this on the playground? Like, if you're going to take something away from this segment right now, how can we help girls? Because a lot of these social things happen on the playground or after school. The next time you have a little girl that comes to you that says, you know, I felt left out, or I don't have friends. Like, those are so many moments that as a teacher, you can take action on things we're talking about right now. Right. So what are some of the things that a teacher could say to, I mean, it could be a young boy or a young girl.
Sure.
But a little girl's at your desk, you know, I don't have friends. I don't feel like, you know, what would you tell that little girl if you were their teacher?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, it's hard because, like, if they're first grade, they're still learning how to be, like, basically they're like mini adults, right? So they're still, like, learning social norms, and they're learning the process. So I think it's almost kind of up to us to help advocate for that. And so I think it's about, like, maybe it's asking, like, the little girl, like, hey, what are you into? Like, what do you like? Right? Like, do you like, I mean, I don't even know what first graders like right now.
They like, well, I mean, I can tell you I have a first grader, and she's a girl.
Okay.
So, she likes to play on the monkey bars and climb all over things.
So then what I would do is, if I would ask the little girl, like, hey, what are you into? Like, what do you like? That might be a hard question, because she might be like, I don't know, it's crazy adult, like, I don't know. But find out what they like to do, or what they like to read, or what games they like to play on the iPad, or whatever it is. Find another person, a boy or a girl, that maybe likes one or two of those things, and connect them, and say, hey, I think you guys would be, like, you like playing on the monkey bars, and you like playing on the monkey bars, like, you know, or like, you just played this game on this, you just had this app up on your iPad, you just played that too. Like, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're little kids, so it's not going to be like, hey, we have a connection. But they're going to figure out.
Yeah.
They're going to figure that. But I think it's up to us to kind of help foster that. And help get that out of them in the educator's way that we can.
Yeah. And by saying, I think helping them. And teachers are so good at scaffolding. But I think the big takeaway I'm having from you, if I'm a teacher listening to this, is little girls and women don't always know how to ask for what they need.
No. Because society doesn't teach us to do that.
Yeah.
Society does not teach girls and women to advocate for ourselves. Yeah. There's it's just not, we're just not socially raised. We're socially raised to be nice. We're socially raised to, you don't hit and you just be nice and you don't make waves. But just because we're socially raised that way. And I want to point out that I was raised by a super, super, super strong mother. Like, I mean, my mom is I always call her the best mom in the world. She is an amazing woman and super strong and like raised her whole family. So I was raised by a really strong like female figure.
Yeah.
But I was also born in the society, right? I was still raised in the society. Like, we're not just raised by our mothers. So if, you know, even if there's mothers out there listening to this and they're like, yeah, but I'm a strong figure and I don't teach my girls to, you know, to apologize for who they are or to say whatever, doesn't matter, because girls are influenced by every other, I mean, social media, magazines, other friends. I mean, there's so much out there that's raising us.
Uh-huh.
So just because there's strong female figures in our lives doesn't mean they're not getting mixed signals in society.
Yeah. And we've got to ask kids to use their words and express what they're thinking and what they need. Yeah. I mean, that's such a huge takeaway. And I think teachers can definitely foster that in the classroom.
Yeah.
And
simple. Teach the kids to ask for what they want.
Teach the kids to ask for what they want.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like that should be so easy. Like that we shouldn't have to teach it, but you're absolutely right. We start thinking about...
And not just the boys, but the girls too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. We were talking about putting kids in groups. So lots of times teachers are putting kids in groups. You know, they're usually mixed with boys and girls. And I was telling you before we started this that a lot of times when I would pick kids in groups... the boys would dominate the groups.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't every time. And there were always, but a lot of the times the boys would dominate those groups. And I was saying a lot of times the girls would end up being the scribe or the one to make the poster.
Right. There's the reporter and the recorder.
Yeah.
Right. The girls are always generally the recorder, right? They're the ones to write everything down. They're the ones to, what was your word?
Like make subscribe. The poster. Yeah.
Make the posters. The scribe. Yeah. They're the ones that do that. And then the boys are the reporter, right? They're the ones that get up and say, this is what we all talked about. This is what is on this poster board. This is the thing.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes, because I've been in groups like that where the teacher was like, okay, somebody's the reporter, somebody's the recorder. I think sometimes, I think the teachers should kind of help flip the script. I think sometimes teachers should just say, hey, you know, girl's name, you are the one, you're going to be reporting today. And then boy's name, you're going to be the one recording today.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we have to make this effort to say, this is what your role is. This is what your role is.
Mm-hmm.
And not making it a big deal.
Nope.
And I'm not saying every time has to be that way.
No.
Because that's not, it's not about to, what, when I say like women and girls have to advocate for themselves, we're not taking away the fact that boys don't advocate for themselves. That's, it's not, we're not saying, like, let's give the girl a voice. We're not saying that the boys don't have a voice.
Right.
We just want equal voices.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, and I think I want to pause here for a second, too, because this goes back to being, knowing your kids. So one of our episodes was with April Riley, and we were talking about empathy and sympathy in the classroom.
Yeah.
And then I talked to Katie Lynch, and we talked about entrepreneurship in the classroom. And in both of those, this theme of... really knowing the kids in your class.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you have girls in there that are confident and can say what they want, and you have boys that are that way. You're going to have boys that are shy and don't want to say what they want. So this is really about that whole child and getting to know them. And your extra layer that you're bringing to me and teaching me is that girls almost have to be even more aware of this socialization where we're taught to be nice and not speak up.
Yeah, and we're just taught to not make waves. We're taught to just, things are what it are. You know, it is what it is.
Yep.
Right? Like, you don't rock the boat. You don't buck the system. You just, you accept things for the way they are. Right? And that's not how it is.
And then we wonder why we don't have women in STEM.
Women in politics.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, there are women in STEM. And yes, there are women in politics. I don't want to discredit the women in STEM and the women in politics. But there's not enough.
The facts show there's not enough.
Right.
Like, right, absolutely. And we have amazing women leaders in politics and STEM. We both acknowledge that. but not rocking the boat. Well, being in STEM or being an entrepreneur or being a great thinker means you have to kind of rock the boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, otherwise you're just absorbing information and spitting it out.
I think about the women 100 years ago, right? The suffragettes. I think about those women and how they fought for our right to vote. And it's like, if they didn't rock the boat, right? If they didn't stand up and say, hey, we deserve a right to vote, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have the rights that we have today, 100 years later.
Yeah.
So it involves somebody stepping up and saying, hey, this isn't right, or we could allow changes here, or let me just ask for this thing, that if we don't advocate for ourselves, just like the suffragettes 100 years ago, if they didn't advocate for themselves, we would still be not being able to vote.
Yeah. And I think that starts in these little lessons in the classroom. You're a teacher, you overhear a group where a girl puts out an idea, and the idea is shut down by the classmates.
Yeah.
Step in and just say, okay, you guys don't have to use that idea, but let's ask some more questions about the idea. Let's explore the idea and help give that little girl who brought the idea to the forefront the self-esteem to talk about her idea.
Yeah.
Because I do see kids are quick to shut each other's ideas down because they want their own idea to happen.
Yes.
Especially in these more engaging classrooms. So I think, just giving that opportunity for that boy or girl to speak their mind of why they're thinking the way that they're thinking.
Right. And a lot of us, too, we don't even know where our opinions are coming from. We just hear, like, our friend that's their opinion. And then you're like, oh, that's my opinion, too. But we don't even really know why. And so I think we have to cultivate conversation. Mm-hmm. I think we have to cultivate, like, a bigger conversation about, you know, I overheard a high school girl. I was at, like, a summit, like a conference the other day. And I overheard a high school girl saying, like, yeah, I'm going to this conference on feminism. And there was a boy in her class that was like, ew, feminists are gross. And, like, that's just stupid. And I said, I'd be kind of curious, like, especially being an adult, like, if I was an adult in that area, like, because there's always going to be somebody that's like, ew, that's gross, or like, oh, feminist. Like, I would want to cultivate that conversation and say, well, tell me why. Like, that's cool. Like, you can feel that way. Like, and validate their feelings because their feelings are valid. They can think feminism is gross. That's totally fine. But then I want to hear more about why they think it's gross. And what I think sometimes we'll discover is that most people don't even know, especially high schoolers, because you're still trying to figure all this stuff out.
Yeah.
Is that they don't even know. We don't even know why. I've met adults that don't even know why they feel a certain way. They just do.
Yeah.
Right. And so let's have a bigger conversation about, like, well, why do you feel that way? It's cool. I'm not asking you to change your mind, right? Validate them. Because this isn't a debate. This is about just understanding why do you feel the way you feel. So then we can get to the core of being like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But if it's just like, well, it's just because that's what my friend said, that's not very real.
And it just makes me think about how it's not like you're going to have this big political conversation in your third grade classroom about the election or something. Well, you might. But it's not going to get into this heated, deep, why do you have these opinions on certain subjects. But what we can do is slow down in our classrooms a little bit and have these deeper conversations. Yeah. Okay, you know, even if it's science and there's someone has a hypothesis that this is going to happen, instead of them just writing that hypothesis, well, why do you think that's going to happen?
Right.
What experiences from your life are telling you that's what's going to happen? And it's like you're starting to teach how to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Instead of just hushing each other and you're wrong.
Right. Or like, I mean, it can be something as simple as like you're a parent and your kid doesn't eat like broccoli or something. It's like, well, I don't like it. Well, tell me, okay, that's okay. You don't have to like it, but tell me why you don't like it. Because I think we go through this like, well, it's just because, or because I said so, or, well, no, let's have a conversation, not a debate, right? There's a big difference.
Yeah.
But let's have a conversation about it and get to like, well, why don't you like this book? Why don't you want to watch this TV show? Why don't you want to go this way instead of that way?
Yeah.
That's totally fine. Just let's talk about it.
We need more of that in our country
now. Yes. Yes, we do.
We need this in the real world, too. So talking about, we were talking about the ABCs. So just to make sure we've clarified, can you go over what the ABCs are and what you have been studying?
Yes. So the ABCs of how girls and women are socialized is A, we apologize and we accommodate our actions, right? We apologize for how we feel and we accommodate our actions. Beliefs like this cause women to become C, complacent and comfortable, and we're hesitant to change, right? So this is kind of like the stop, right? Because we're apologizing, we're A, apologizing and accommodating our actions. B, these are beliefs, right? We're starting to believe this, right? And so this causes us to become C, complacent and comfortable, right? We just get stuck and we're like, well, this is just how we are. And then we're hesitant to change. And so like, okay, well, this is great. So I devised how do we relearn our ABCs,
okay,
right? Because it's not just about like, yes, that's great. It's a fact or it's a theory. But so we relearn our ABCs by A, we advocate for who we are, right? We ask for help, right? And once we advocate for who we are and what we want, we start to better our being, right? We start to cultivate our confidence. But here's the deal. Okay, so how does that happen, right? Like, how do we advocate for who we are? We just do. We just start saying, this is what I want. A, we act, right? We act, which means you take that next step, right? You take that next action, right? You say, this is what I want to do. And if you don't even know what the next action is, then you ask for help, right? Or you go on Google and you find out what the next step is. But regardless, you have to act. You have to act, because then from there you become the person that you want to become, right? And then from there we conquer our dreams and we conquer our fears. Now, when I say conquer, this isn't about getting rid of fears and this isn't about getting rid of our dreams, but this is about conquering them in a ways of like, I'm just going to own them. I'm still going to have fears and I'm always going to have dreams, but it's about working with them instead of against them. So yeah, A, we act. After we act, we be, we become that person we want to become, and C, we conquer our dreams and we conquer our fears. It's a simplistic way of looking at it, but I think we tend to complicate things, we tend to overthink things, and that's how things are not getting done, is that we just, step one, we act.
So going back to our 3 points that we're talking about today, if a teacher is walking away from something that they can do in the classroom to make a change and to hear what you're saying and make change with little girls, so that they don't grow up apologizing and accommodating. You know, the first thing we talked about is listen to what they're saying and to what they're not saying, and really getting them to speak and say what they want and need.
Yes.
And it can be in the simplest ways, and you being a good role model of that and teaching them how to speak up for what they need. The second thing is they're working in groups. Switch it up. Make sure that everyone's having the chance to be the reporter, to be the one standing up, having their voice heard. Don't always let the same little girl be the one that makes the cute poster for the class to see. Yeah. And this third concept is overthinking. And I think this is so interesting. We're taught in school to try to get an A+. We're taught in school to do draft after draft after draft until it's the best thing and we turn it in and that's our finished product. But what you and I have talked about is that kind of overthinking can actually be harmful.
Yeah, it can really hold us back.
And then going back to raising our kids and being in the classroom is, I think we're hurting our kids by not letting them take small little chances here and there. And they're thinking that we want them to be perfect and turn in these perfect reports, which there is something very good to be learned about drafts and revising and going for your best.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, you have to throw things out there and you have to take those risks, right? So what can we do you think, to help kids not overthink and to really like to get out there and be a little more risky in their thinking?
I think it's about teaching them to make quick decisions, you know? Like, I mean, I know I've never personally done it, but like, I know improv classes are great for kids because it gets them to you just don't overthink things.
Yeah.
And I recognize that not every child is going to have access to an improv class.
But a teacher could do improv activities.
You know, you just find ways to, like, even if you go around and you're like, okay, we're going to all, you know, stand in a circle, right? And the teacher stands in the middle and then she's like, okay, everyone's going to tell a story. But the next person that has to talk, I'm going to point at. And you're just going to continue the story, right? And so everyone has to be ready, and everybody has to be ready to go, because they never know who they're going to be they never know who's going to be pointed at next. But it also teaches them listening skills, because they have to listen to what the story is about. But it's quick, and I think we just have to teach kids and adults just sometimes just don't overthink it. Just go.
Nikki, before we let you go today, I would love for you to share with our listeners more about what you do on a day-to-day basis to help people reach their potential.
One-on-one coaching, I do group coaching, I go to different corporations and I talk with employees, and I'm starting to go into different schools. And I'm doing a couple different things. I do workshops in corporations and schools on better communication, like how to talk to each other. The big thing is I talk about my ABCs of how women are socialized. So I do these empowerment workshops. So I teach women and men just how we're socialized and how to advocate for ourselves and how to be a better coworker, how to be a better person in life in general. And I do it in a workshop format. It's super interactive. It's super fun. There's no lecture. I would never lecture to anybody. So I make sure that it's super interactive. And so that's kind of the bulk of what I do. I go to these different corporations and different schools, and I go in and I have like super interactive workshops. And then from there, I do one-on-one coaching where I help people kind of get their lives together. Instead of talking about the things that you want to do, like we all have that thing that you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. I turn that someday into today.
First of all, I want to thank you for helping me accomplish this podcast. I think that this episode's going to be eye-opening for a lot of people, and they're really going to think about what they can do in the classroom to empower both boys and girls, but girls mostly through the ABCs.
Yes.
And just for being you and allowing me to walk up to you that night and introduce myself.
And if you are listening to this podcast and you got any value from this podcast and you want to know more, please, please, please go to my website, which is nikkineagle.com, which Carrie's going to put in the notes. So yeah, if you got any value of this, if you've got any questions, if you want to reach out to me, if you want me to speak at your company or at your school, or you want to work one-on-one with me, or just, hey, you want to say, hey, like, you're awesome, right? Like, reach out to me.
Speaking of reaching out, we want to hear from you at Educators to Educators. Find me on Instagram, educators2educators, the number 2, of course, or visit my website at www.conoverinnovativeconsulting.com, where you can find information on the consulting work we do on behalf of schools and education companies. Thanks for joining Nikki and I as we talked about girls in the classroom. Next week, I'm speaking with Monica Burns as she talks about her new ed tech book, Tasks Before Apps. It's not one you're going to want to miss. Until then, keep on teaching on.